So there are a lot of different ways to try to explain variations in sleep across countries or different demographics, right? Biologists could explain it, psychologists, but what would an economist think? Well, Gary Becker, a Nobel Prize-winning economist at the University of Chicago, established the idea of, quote, economic imperialism, which is using economics to explain topics usually left for other social or hard sciences. This thinking influenced many of the topics explored in Freakonomics. So, what would an economist say about sleep? You're listening to Upset Patterns. So economists usually analyze things by looking at how individuals or firms maximize their utility or profits based on certain restrictions. For an individual, it's often their budget constraint. For a firm, it's the input cost of labor and capital. Basically, an economist recognizes that there are trade-offs, and it tries to see how an individual firm will maximize their end game. Rather than thinking of sleep as a biologically determined variable, like some biologists might, what if we considered it as a choice variable? So think about this. An individual only has 24 hours in a day. They can choose between working, reading, socializing, eating meals, sleeping, sexual activity, etc. And the value that one gets from all of these different things will differ across individuals. So it only makes sense that as far as they can control sleep, the relative price and value of sleep differs. Believe it or not, there's actually been some research done to try to explain variations in sleep from an economist's point of view. And what this means is that you run a regression analysis. And that is, if sleep is a variable, then all of these different demographic variables, whether it's income, gender, years of education, those are the independent variables. What the analysis will show is, given an increase in one of those variables, let's say in $1,000 worth of income, what does that predict in terms of sleep? Here to talk with me about this is Drew Daprich, a man who has slept a few times in his life. Drew, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for getting me out of bed in order to be here.
Yeah, I almost thought you wouldn't make it. Well, so this study looked at a few independent variables, right? And so let's think about it. Wealthy versus poor, who do you think is going to sleep more?
I would imagine the poor are probably going to sleep a little bit less than the wealthy simply because they have to work harder to maintain that base.
Yeah, that makes sense. However, what the data actually shows is that richer people sleep less than poor people.
Why is that?
Well, it's hard to tell, but I guess the implication you could have is that rich people having more income have a lot more opportunities of how to spend their time, right? Sleep is enjoyable for most people. You can think of it as a consumption good. And because it's pretty much free, a poor person without many other options is going to sleep more than someone who can spend money on leisurely activities.
So the cost-benefit ratio is lower for the poor than it is for the wealthy.
For the poor person, sleep is just a relatively cheaper good.
Okay.
So then how about years of schooling?
I would imagine the less educated get less sleep because, in my mind at least, they tend to have more shift or manual labor-oriented jobs, which in theory would make them more fatigued, need more sleep as a result, or less sleep, just because they're working more shifts.
Because their occupations sort of demand more sleep. That makes sense.
Right. And also, I could see the other side of it being those who are more educated tend to have more responsibilities placed on them as well, so they're going to get less sleep because they have
more to do during their waking hours.
Exactly.
I guess my intuition would be that the less educated will sleep less, and I consider it from sort of a health education perspective. Sleep is very important, and most people don't get enough sleep. And it seems like the more educated you are, the more aware you are of the health benefits. Actually, what the data showed is that the more educated sleep less than the less educated. And, you know, of course, this is a correlation, and we can't draw too many conclusions, but what Biddle and Hamermesh thought was that the more educated are up late at night considering intellectual endeavors and wondering the mysteries of the universe. So, two other variables they considered, Protestants versus Catholics. What do you think?
Well, my sister-in-law is Catholic, and she never gets any sleep. She is up tending to her six kids, seems to have a lot on her mind all the time, constantly worried about something. So I'm going to have to go with with Catholics. Catholics
sleeping less?
Yeah, we get less sleep.
You know, in my history of being in a large extended Catholic family, I don't think I get enough sleep. And I could go into more politically incorrect reasons because we are not on upset patterns governed by the FCC. But I will choose to forego that. And I'll just go right into the results. And that is that Protestants do sleep more. And actually, you know, I don't think there's much that you can draw from that other than perhaps the slightly humorous stereotypes that we could put on Catholics. All right, so men versus women. And this sort of thing, there are two ways to look at this. One is all men versus all women. And then you can also look at it as men and women when you're holding things like income, education, age constant. What do you think?
Well, because my brain isn't able to hold those variables constant at the moment, didn't get enough sleep last night, I'm going to go with, ironically, with men sleep more. I just stereotypically have less to tend to. They seem to be lazier than women,
men,
less responsibilities.
I guess, you know, today women are expected to do a lot of the housework in addition to being a part of the labor force, so you could see that. Any other thoughts?
As you mentioned, it all comes down to women responsibilities, and I think men's responsibilities have stayed somewhat stable over the past decade, whereas women's responsibilities have increased due to societal pressures.
Interesting. Well, what the data showed was that all women versus all men, women work more, but if you consider all other factors constant, men sleep more than women. So you could say that the, you know, the female CEO versus the male CEO, the female one does have more to tend to. We can infer a lot from it, but in the end, none of it's really conclusive. So building on that, though, is really interesting. When a woman goes from having no children to having children versus a man going from having no children to having children, where do you think the changes happen?
Oh, it's got to be women are getting less sleep after kids.
That is very true. In fact, men, on the aggregate, do not change their sleep patterns at all after they have children, whereas women lose a significant amount of sleep. Obviously shows the women are doing most of the work late at night to the crying children.
Yeah, I would think men would possibly even have a slight uptick in sleep just to avoid whatever they want to get away from.
Could be. So another thing to add to the economics of sleep is the effect of daylight savings, right? So daylight savings is sort of this proposition to save energy use. People go home from work and instead of turning on all their lights, it's still light outside, so it saves electricity. Well, one study showed that there was a $434 million loss in productivity, increased traffic fatalities, and anxiety that affects financial markets, essentially. So in that two-week period when people are adjusting to daylight savings, you have, you know, basically they're running on an hour less sleep, and all of those things happen. You compare this to one study in Indiana where 15 of 92 counties don't observe daylight savings time. Among those who do observe it and those who don't, if you compare the two, there's not a statistically significant difference in energy consumption. So you could say that that daylight savings in March, when everyone's really groggy for a couple weeks, loses $500 million a year.
So if that's true, then I would imagine that the converse would be true as well. So when daylight savings ends, then productivity would go up, people are more rested, that sort of thing.
Sort of the same effect, but in a positive sense.
Exactly.
As far as I'm aware, there is no study showing how great daylight savings in the fall is. So for now, I'm going to continue vilifying daylight savings and try to blame somebody every spring when I am just that much more tired.
As you should, as we all should.
Yes. So basically, economics is usually seen as explaining market activities, but you can apply economic analysis to everyday things, such as sleep. You have a limited amount of time, 24 hours, and people can mostly choose how to spend that time, whether it's work, sleeping, socializing, sexual activity. And you can draw inferences on a person's sleep patterns based on certain demographic variables. All right, tonight. Upset Patterns is hosted by Will Comperl from Tequila Mockingbird Studios in Austin, Texas, and produced by Paige Jensen-Slattengren. My guest today has been Drew Dapridge. Want more sources relevant to today's podcast? Have any questions, comments, discussion points, or suggestions for future podcast topics? Visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/upsetpatterns or email upsetpatterns@gmail.com. Everybody's gone.